All right, hey, listen, we're gonna jump over to the next segment. So we just finished up doing Big Talk, talking about last night's interview between Kamala Harris and Bret Baier from Fox News. Now let's go ahead and do something that I love doing every single Thursday. We get together with some folks who are doing a lot of things that just help make this show successful. And we like to refer to this segment as Butters and Lee because they come on the air. I ask them questions, and then we flip the script, and they ask me questions. So let me just call the roll. The digital man extraordinaire, Butters, are you on the line?
I am here.
You are indeed, sounding smooth and sexy. All right. So, and then I'm just reaching back out to Huntsville. Lee from Huntsville, are you there and ready to get ornery?
I sure am.
As always. All right. I pronounce a quorum. It's Butters and Lee. All right. You guys know how it works. Here's the question. First question. I'm gonna stick with the topic we've been on. So Kamala did her big interview last night with Fox's Bret Baier. And here's my just kind of questions from your perspective. Did she help herself or hurt herself? And did she pick up any undecided voters whatsoever? And was there a high point in the interview for her? Like, did she walk away going, that was it, I nailed it on that piece? So a lot of questions, but all wrapped up around that. Lee, ladies first, what do you got?
No, I don't believe she picked up any voters. I think she exposed, that's got to be the most hostile interview she's done. I think she was exposed in that interview that she just has to go back to those same tired answers that she's been trying to give in every interview. It's like she's just very well practiced, but doesn't have any real knowledge. You know what I mean? Like, she can't deviate off of the script that she has been given at all. And when someone asks her follow-up, it's a disaster for her. And I think that's what really exposed her in that interview. And I was surprised to see later in an interview with him that they were late.
Yeah.
That he did not get anywhere near the amount of time he was supposed to with her. And, and they cut it short, jumping up and down, waving their arms, wanting him to cut it off because they could see she was falling down a hole. I mean, her answers were really bad, especially about the Joe Biden question, which no one's ever asked her. How come you didn't come out and say something about the fact that he was declining? And I think that she kept going back and talking about Trump. And I'm like, that's just not... You know, you're not doing yourself any favors by showing you absolutely have no answer for that.
So was there a high point at all? Is there any takeaway that she's like, well, we got that one. At least that's our soundbite.
I mean, she pushed back pretty hard on him. I'll give that to her. But he just kept interrupting her because the thing that she does, she stalls with the word salad and with the, you know, 8 words, 10 words for one word, you know, and especially
yes.
She'll say, well, I think, you know, well, yes. And to be clear, and... I think that. Kim thinks that. We both think that. Like, and you're like, oh, my God. Like, if I was in a meeting and having to listen to someone talk like that, I just might stab myself in the eye with a butter knife. Because I can't deal with someone who uses 15 different words where you're just like, just spit it out.
All right.
But
so
he pushed back. I'll get over that.
So Butters, Lee is almost to the point of self-harm after watching the interview. So where are you on it?
Well, You and I both know what I'm talking about, okay? We both know what we're talking about.
I really don't. What are you talking about?
No. We absolutely both know exactly what I'm talking about. I think that she probably served the objective that she was going for and created the sound bites for the extreme left, her staunchest fans. I mean, you look at the media coverage that's going to come out of it. All they're doing is reporting on the soundbite. So she got the soundbite that is saying what she wanted to say, even if it wasn't answering the question. They'll just not play that part.
Yeah.
And they'll talk about the mean, big, bad, mean conservative journalist that, you know, was ugly to her. And, you know, there's a bunch of people that'll eat that up like sheep. So
was there a high point at all? Did you see any high points at all that came out of this for her? Like, wow, okay, I'll give her that one.
No, I mean, she went in with an agenda. I mean, I think it's slightly said. I mean, she says what she's programmed to say. So I don't know. Maybe she's a first generation cyborg with some really bad programming. I can't.
She
can't
has been assimilated into the Borg. You know, the one thing that was missing, I kept waiting for her to find a reason to talk about growing up in the middle class. I don't think she said that during the interview, did she?
I don't. Yeah, I don't remember hearing her talk about that. But it's just so pathetic that you can't talk about yourself. You can't. There's no leading. There was no like, hey, come and follow me. It's so sad.
It really is. And I love the fact though that Brett Baer pointed out that she's the one who's been in charge. Her response was, well, Trump's been running for office for like a decade or something. And he said, but you're the one in power. And
that was
so weak.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. How does anyone, like, if you actually listen to the question, listen to the answer, how does anyone walk away going, yeah, that's what you should say?
That's the right way to, did you practice that? Because that was really, really good. No, not at all. And by the way, I have a piece here from Red State that says that, to give you an indication of what the right thinks of this, that Team Trump has already made clear how they feel about it because they dropped the entire interview as one giant campaign ad.
Why?
Yeah, no doubt. All right, next question. Let me switch gears here. We had some breaking news today out of the Middle East. So Israel took out Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar, who was an evil individual. He's believed to really be the architect of the October 7th massacres. He's responsible for deaths and torture of both Palestinians and, you know, folks outside the borders, especially Israelis, for years. He spent 22 years in an Israeli prison at one point because he was such a bad guy. The bottom line is they took him out today, and they've announced it to the world. So here's my question for you. It's seemingly cutting the head off the snake of Hamas, but what are the implications here? What are your thoughts? Put on your foreign policy hat. Is the war going to wind down now because they took out the guy? Or is this going to make him a martyr and a rallying cry for Hamas? What are your thoughts? Butters, you first.
Yeah, I think it's going to be that he's going to be a martyr, and it'll be a rallying cry. You know, Hamas is doing the bidding of Iran. So unless this is enough to actually stop what's going on, then they'll find some other stooge. And figure out how to keep on going. So I don't know. That's I hope that there's a lot of guys not wearing pagers, carrying phones, and maybe okay. They want to go live in bunkers, you know, a few hundred feet under the ground.
It seems to me like being a leader of either Hamas or Hezbollah is like one of the shortest tenured jobs you could ever ask for. Like, there's no job security whatsoever in that.
Definitely a lot worse than you know, smoking for hazard for your health.
Yeah, there's that. All right, so your thoughts then, Lee, what do you think?
I think that it all depends on who comes in after him. From what I've read, there's several different choices, one of which is his brother, who could step in. And that it really depends on who steps in. But honestly, the Palestinians have been given time and time again, I think at least five times, a two-state opportunity, and they have rejected it because in the end they want the obliteration of Israel. And if whoever gets in has no interest in peace because all they're looking for is the destruction of Israel, I don't see how it stops. If someone comes in that's got a bit more of a negotiation mind and just wants to get out of all this alive, you know, breathing, then they may have a chance. But overall, the Palestinians as a whole, I don't honestly believe they want peace, even as bad as it is. They want the destruction of Israel. Until that changes, you know, what is it, like 75%, 80% of the people support Hamas?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what it is now, but that was before that happened. You know, they support them, and they fully understand what what Hamas is about.
Well, so here's something to think about, and I'm sort of spitballing out loud, but The Palestinians, their territory is split into two. You've got the Gaza Strip, which is on the southwest side of Israel, and you've got the West Bank, which is on the northeast side of Israel. But it's all considered part of the Palestinian Authority. But the Palestinian Authority in the Gaza Strip area has pretty much been Hamas. Well, if Hamas leadership just Hezbollah. Got taken out, and well, Hezbollah is in Lebanon to the north, but right. if Hamas has been decapitated leadership wise, there's an opportunity here for the more I don't call them moderate, but they're more moderate than Hamas section of the Palestinian Authority up in the West Bank to assert leadership and to bring a new course and to begin to govern in both locations, and that would be interesting if they can make that happen. If they can say, we're going to step in now and take charge, and this would be the way that Netanyahu could begin to wind down the war, because he took out the guy who, or he took out the Osama bin Laden, if you will, of the whole Hamas structure that killed thousands of his people.
I definitely
they have to give back the hostages. They have to give them back.
I agree with that. I agree with that completely.
I definitely say Israel's much more in the driver's seat than recent history.
Oh, yeah.
Of what's going on in the Middle East right now.
I would agree with that. All right, that's round one. Go ahead, Lee. What you got?
My last thing is, I read an article last night about that that little 6-month-old baby that was taken, and he'd be 18 months now.
Wow.
And
that
is the one thing that I've never been able to kind of get that out of my mind. Hmm. And until that baby and his, I can't remember if it was a brother or a sister, are returned, every last one of them needs to be hunted down and, taken off the face of the earth.
No, I agree with that.
I mean, these hostages, if they're serious, they need to start giving them back. But I think that I just don't have a lot of hope for that.
No, I would agree with that. And you're right. And where's the United States on that piece? Because apparently three of those hostages that are still unaccounted for are Americans.
Right.
All right, my friends, that's round one of Butters and Lee. You guys stay tuned. We're going to take a break and come right back. Round two, we flip the script. They ask me questions, and I just wait with bated breath to find out what they're going to ask. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Going right back now to round two of Butters and Lee. This is the part where I sit back and wait and get asked questions by them and hope that I have an answer. So I'll go with ladies first again. Lee, what you got? Did we lose Lee? Hello, Lee from Huntsville. Lee, I'll switch to Butters. Butters, you there, buddy?
I am here.
All right.
Can you hear me?
All right, yeah. I'll tell you what, JP, see if you can get her back on the line, man. But in the meantime, Butters, what question do you have for me?
Well, so SpaceX.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you heard, but they caught a rocket out of midair.
Just snatched it out of the air.
Pretty impressive stuff. So I guess a couple of questions, in general, just, thoughts on what the future of space travel and civilian, space, this whole deal with California and, not letting him play with his rockets because he's talking about politics and, and then what's SpaceX not doing in Huntsville? How is that happening?
What SpaceX not doing in Huntsville? What do you mean?
Yeah, like I mean, how do we not have a larger presence in Alabama?
Oh, wait for it! I think it's coming. Blue Origin's already here, so I'd say they're going to be here. In fact, I'd be surprised if they don't already have a satellite office and they're doing some coordinations. But I would listen. It is very telling, by the way, Butters, that on the I think the same day that Elon Musk SpaceX company. Literally, like you said, caught a rocket in midair. It guided it in, threaded the needle with that thing. That NASA put out that it was giving grants to assist in weeding out white extremism in its ranks. Like okay, let's compare the public sector to the private sector right now. Where are we? And one is snatching rockets out of midair and working on flying people to Mars. And the other one is like, well, we're trying to be woke and do some virtue signaling and make sure the ESG is in effect. So, wow.
Yeah, Babylon Bee had a pretty good post on that.
I'm sure they did. yeah, I mean, I think Musk is just continuing to prove that he is willing to push the boundaries of innovation. And I mean, that same week, by the way, it wasn't just snatching a rocket out of midair. He also had the robo-taxi. He had the big, van that was like something out of, some futuristic movie. And then he had robots that can serve up drinks at the bar. I mean, the whole thing was just very surreal.
So what do you think? I keep wondering, how untouchable is he? I mean, he's got more wealth than I think any human beings ever thought of having. Mm. You know, is he getting, I mean, I guess, I don't know. Do you think he's untouchable?
No, I think he better be very careful. I think he better dot all his I's and cross all his T's and try to live a life as above board as possible, which I would hope he would do anyway. But I'm saying, I think he's a target. And if Trump doesn't get elected, I think he's even more of a target. Hey, we got Lee back on the line. I'm going to run out of time, so let me jump over to her. Butters, good question, man. Lee from the Huntsville, you're back on the line. What question do you have for me?
Yeah, I don't know. I could hear you. I guess you just couldn't hear me. And by the way, he's African-American, so I don't know why he doesn't check their box.
He is African-American. And anyway,
yes,
go ahead.
Yes, he is.
Go ahead.
My question for you is what these states, and I don't know if you'll know this, being a former senator, you might. I worry about North Carolinians, millennials, however they say it, being able to vote in these places that are devastated, because I just saw where they just started in-person voting today.
Yeah.
And I mean, some of these places are just impassable. Do states have plans for just devastation in areas where you have to provide voting?
Yeah, they do, and they're supposed to take action as needed. So the state of North Carolina, I'm not a real fan of their governor, who I think has been somewhat, lame in his public responses, to what's going on in his state. But I will say this, his state and the state officials, and I believe in conjunction with the state legislature, they did make provisions for people in the disaster relief areas to be able to take certain actions like turning in their absentee ballots to other counties because theirs won't. If they can't get out, there's going to be opportunities for them to get to additional ballot measure or ballot collection points in their area. And then they're doubling up on the ability for mobile voting sites. So, I mean, we still got to watch it. We still got to be very careful. But they're doing what they can, I think, right now to give the people the opportunity to exercise their ballot rights. The question in my mind is, it could cause a delay because it changes the streamlined plan that they already had in place. The thing that it bothers me is, When you disrupt the usual flow, you open the door for potential corruption. So what I don't want to see happen is somebody says, well, I've got all these absentee ballots. They just brought them to me because they came from another county. Wink, wink, nod, nod. So we got to be able to make sure that while you're accommodating people's real needs this time, real, at the same time, you're not also opening Pandora's box and creating more issues for corruption and for not being able to true the ballot. So, yeah, right. There you go. And then there's always Florida, where you got Ron DeSantis, who handles it all like a champ, and who, in my opinion, needs to be the next Department of Homeland Security Secretary. Just saying. I want him in charge of my disasters in the future. All of them.
Agreed.
Everywhere.
Don't worry about Florida.
Absolutely. All right, you guys. Music's already playing. Butters and Lee, appreciate you both. Love you. We'll see you soon. All right, you guys, we're taking a break. Coming into hour number three. Where did the first 2 hours go? Hour number three coming up, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.